All right. Here. Let's see here. We're going to bring in a few phone calls here through Blog Talk real quick. All right. That's okay. There you go, right there. All right, lawyer, you're back. Let's answer a few calls. You got the one about the other bit? All right. Hold on. Hey, shalom, sister. Are you live?
Hello?
Shalom, sister. Are you live amongst us?
Hello?
Can you hear us?
Hello? I can hear you.
Okay, I can hear you.
Oh, okay, shalom.
Shalom, sister. Let's make sure our video aren't playing in the background, okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay, you can hear us right now. And right now, you don't have any audio outside of this broadcast, Blog Talk, playing, correct?
Right.
Okay. Okay, there could be a little feedback here, right? All right. This sister in particular name was Shirley, and she called the other day from the West Coast. I'm not even going to put out your personal, location. I'm going to link you up with an elder where you are. You don't have to state that right now. But sister, when you called the other day, you had a question, and I said, maybe other sisters out there need to hear this question based on some of the broadcasts I had in the past. What was your question that you had that you called about the other day?
It was, you was talking about the women that was putting their men's out as they shouldn't because they need them. And I was wondering what about the widow, who's supposed to
okay,
be.
The sister was asking, well, what about the widows? We talk about what the women should do. Where is the widow's place in all of this? But go on.
Right.
And how old are you, sister?
I'm 59.
You're 59 years of age, so you fall into that line of what you would call a elder woman in the scriptures, a woman of 60 years, which is 60 years of age when you round it off, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have daughters.
Yes.
And you have daughters, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Right now there's a delay, but I'm going to answer that question. And you only were the wife of one man. You're a widow of a husband, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry about... How long have you been widowed, sister?
Three years.
I'm sorry to hear about that. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you've raised your family and your daughters in particular with traditional values, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I'm going to answer your question offline since there is a delay, but is there anything you would like to say or ask questions or any questions you might have before I read the answer? Okay, well, thank you, sister. I'm going to place you on hold, and then we're going to get the next rest of the calls in a moment. And let's, Elder Lawyer, let's answer a question real quick. Well, what about the elder widows? What are their roles right now? Right?
Right.
So, all right, I'm going to place you on hold. Let's answer that question.
So this is 1 Timothy 5. I'll start in verse 1 with context. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity.
Come on.
Honor widows that are widows indeed.
Honor widows who are widows indeed. Now they have a place according to the Bible. This is what it is. Read.
But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for this that is good and acceptable before God.
Come on.
Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they be that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. Let a widow be taken into the number under 60 years.
That's 60 years of age. That's where you are, sister. So what is your position at that age? And I want all women, even middle-aged women, to understand what this means. If the average life expectancy of women is about 80 years of age, if you're 35 to 40, you're middle-aged. So it's time that we begin, as men and women, honoring our age and not fear growing old. Because that's what's going on. That's what this generation we have here is lacking. Okay? They're lacking those of wisdom who can guide them in the understanding that it's okay to be aged and have wisdom to impart to our children.
Verse 9, let not a widow be taken into the number under 60 years old.
Come on.
Having been the wife of one man.
The wife of one man.
Well reported of for good works.
Well reported of good works. Read.
If she have brought up children.
If she have brought up children.
If she have lodged strangers.
Lodged strangers.
If she have washed the saints' feet.
Washed the saints' feet. You're looking out for your duty as a woman amongst the church. Read.
If she have relieved the afflicted.
Come on.
If she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse.
But the younger women refuse to follow the elder widow's example. The younger women are refusing that. One of the reasons they're refusing that is because there's really no examples of a virtuous widow that's publicized within the Western world society. Listen to what we're showing you here.
Mm-hmm. And also, if I can mention, when it says that the younger widow refuses, as well, it's dealing with, you know, you want a woman of age to hold that position. You don't want a young woman to come in and try to take that position that a widow would hold. It's going to explain why.
Exactly. Read.
It says, but the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle.
They learn to be what?
Idle.
Idle.
Wandering about from house to house.
Going all over the place. Now, and not only that, they're coming with so-called guidance, not realizing that they're out of order. They're coming with how they feel things should be. Read.
It says, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers.
But tattlers, spreading other people's information. Read.
Also, in busybodies, speaking things which they ought not.
Come on.
I will therefore that the younger women marry.
Marry.
Bear children.
Bear. Hold up. Do what?
I will that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully.
Now, the reason why I went into this, sister, and I'm glad you asked the question, Shirley, and the fact that I said I would answer it here. Why? Because keep in mind, who you are and what you represent is lacking amongst sisters. You have an example of a successful relationship, even though you no longer have a husband. Good children that was raised under righteous values. And again, the conversation is she taught her daughters more so. Now, she said she wish she could have did a few things differently, but she taught her daughters how to get and keep a good man. That was the focus in rearing her daughters. Not telling the daughter, that you're supposed to go out and be independent, education, and all these other things while you lose the opportunity in your prime years to get the husband of your youth. The elder women understood that was their role. Their role was to make sure these young ladies understood their purpose to be helpmeet, to make sure it's not about the outward appearance, it's about the inward woman. And see, the examples we have out there that we see today, like the Vivica Foxes they're putting on TV and all these women who wasted a lot of their good years. These people that we have, these worldly women, folks, are envious or jealous of the younger women. So they're giving them bad advice on purpose. They're giving bad advice on purpose. So I wanted to go there because I couldn't really go into the scenarios the other day, especially when the sister called on the radio, Elder Lloyd, and I said I would address it here, who said, well, keep in mind there's sisters with alopecia, this, there, and the other. But an elder widow wouldn't be highlighting alopecia. An elder woman would say, you know what, I'm in a position of influence, and I'm going to now be the elder woman to teach sisters how not to come down with alopecia. I'm going to use my life as the example, so that our sisters can value themselves and understand they don't need all this other stuff, because long term, after their prime, they begin to lose their beauty. Okay? They'll destroy themselves trying to keep up in this covetous scenario. And an elder woman will let her know, listen, and look at my head. Look at what happened to me. You are a daughter of Zion, and this is what I'm feeling is not good, and I love you enough not to have you go down this path. Okay? An elder woman would look at her mistakes and make sure that younger women don't experience those negatives. Because why? Women have more power of influence over other women. The Most High made them that way. A man will never understand what it means to be a little girl. That's why the elder women were upheld in high regard in churches. They would tell women, listen, nah, a man don't care about your education. He don't care about your degrees. He don't care about none of that. He care about your beauty. He care about your virtue. He care of how you keep yourself. Because why? Think about it. Their education is telling their man that they're already shaped according to this world. The man don't have no room to shape her into the woman that's meant for him. She's already shaped. She already has her idea of what this world is. And a man's position and authority is to make that woman and be able to move that woman to be a helpmeet in what he requires from her to succeed. The elder women would say that. They were preparing women for marriage, not for the world. But they switched it off by putting up Oprah as mammy. And that was the paradigm shift, where it was about a woman being independent and all that other crap against God. And the older widow, Oprah, let me tell you, she's been out of the pocket since they put her on that stage. That she's been given the bad advice, and now we're seeing the consequences of the Oprah era. An elder woman's responsibility is to make sure that young women don't follow in those footsteps that leads to misery, that leads to them being alone. Elder women have to tell sisters, listen, yeah. Don't think that because a man will lay with you, he wants you. Reprogram yourself. Okay? Don't take that as you're not winning. If a man will lay with you and not marry you, you're losing. Okay? And I'm glad she brought that up. But I'm going to tell you, it's a shame because these elder women, they grow up and they know that they're unhappy. But instead of them imparting wisdom on these younger ladies so that these young ladies don't grow up unhappy, they'll lie to these young ladies.
Mm-hmm.
They'll tell them to go out and do certain things so that they can have someone alone like they are alone. And they'll all camp up together and do all these things together because they're alone. Because why? Because they weren't right in the Most High, they missed their opportunity. Instead of them saying, well, listen, I'm going to make sure my daughters don't experience this. No, they're going to continue that perpetual curse so that they'll have someone to be with, their daughters. It's time for us to break that. Down the line, and I'm glad I talked with her. I say, I'll answer your question online. The elder widow's position is to break the curse that's on the daughters of Zion and stop lying to our sisters. Stop coddling them and let them know right from wrong with no gray areas. Because they'll take it from a woman more so than a man. Stop lying to these young ladies. Stop telling them they're fine the way they are. When I grew up, women used to tell, listen, ain't no man going to want you this way. Was honest with young girls. Area code 917. You're live.
Shalom, elders.
Shalom, you're live.
Hi. Well, first of all, I'd like to mention that when you mentioned the Pruitt Igoe, that really hit home. I'm from St. Louis, and I remember those projects. I had no idea that it was an experiment. I thought it was just, something that just didn't succeed and when they imploded. I remember when they imploded it. But now what I would like to express at this time, now I got married back in the early 70s, and I would like to say that I was the ideal wife. My husband, he kind of ran things. He had a slight temper, so naturally I did not cross him. I did everything he said. I worked when we first got married, when we started a family. He said, stay home with the kids. I think mother should be home. So I stayed at home. But it seems the devil didn't like that situation. He took him by means of cancer. He was age 39. I was 36. I raised three girls by myself. But it just goes to show that with my girls, like my oldest daughter, she got pregnant in high school. She met a boy walking down the street. Now, as my sister-in-law had made mention, she said if her father had been living, that oldest baby would never have been here at that time. And which I could see, he was the disciplinarian. Now, I could tell her, no, don't do this. Don't go outside, boy. Don't, this and that. But I know if my husband had been living, he would have had the want to say no, and she would have listened to him because he was just that forceful. I mean, just like my mother always said, there's something about that male voice that the children will listen to. Mom can say this, and then they get pushback. But when daddy says something, there is no pushback. And so I said that just goes to show the importance of the male in the home there. In this set.
Yeah.
With that. Mm-hmm.
This is why they set up, and I'm going to place you on hold. And this is why they set up those experiments.
Mm.
And with the experience, those rat experiences, they knew that in order to execute this, they had to deal with a socialized society in which they would separate the black man from the black woman. They would incentivize that particular society, that community. It would be incentivized that the black man is to be demonized as well as separate. You cannot get any money or socialization or any help if the man is in the house. And if you get impregnated by this man, you must take him to court. you must give them over to the system. Why? Because they needed a time like we have now where, by default, there's no way out for our families. If you've been socialized, think about it. Once they implement the mark of the beast and say, well, you're in council housing, you're in welfare housing, all your money, all your existence will depend on you taking this mark, this new currency. By default, the majority of our people are going to be lined up for the mark of the beast just for the sake of survival, just to keep their houses, just to keep their lifestyles. That's what the whole experiment was about. It's not going to affect a lot of other nations initially like it will affect us. The other nations are going to take it anyway because they, you know, they are about the world. It's all about materialism. So the Gentiles are going to be lined up for whatever, as long as they can continue to spin in this world. But, you know, we weren't supposed to be marked and have the seal of Satan. We were separated for our God. Okay. There's going to be a remnant of our people that will not take none of that crap and will make it. And there will be a remnant of Gentiles who will reject the beast. And this is, you know what's alarming me more so than anything other, lawyer? The fact that the only pastors I'm seeing that's actually talking about rejecting the mark of the beast are white. Mm-hmm. I don't see no public voice within our communities with T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollars, with the greatest audiences they have. Not once did I hear them say publicly, we will die before we acquiesce under COVID and have our people tested, and actually, on top of that, have the Mark of the Beast RFID chip administered. That's scary. Next call. Let's see. 470 area code. Okay, 470 area code. You're live with the Gathering of Christ Church.
Shalom, Elder. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. You're live.
Oh, thank you. Hi, I'm calling in. I wanted to know the Bible position on elderly women that's in the truth now that was divorced before they came into the truth.
Okay, what questions do you have in particular?
What is our position, you know, as far, you know, you're talking about the widows, and their position that they can share the wisdom that they had after they had a successful marriage. And okay. I'm one that's been divorced for over 30 years and did not have a successful marriage.
And when you say you did not, when you said you did not have a successful marriage, mm-hmm. what do you mean by that?
I got a divorce. He wanted to get a divorce. And he remarried after the divorce. He
was a pastor, and he initiated a divorce. He divorced you.
Yeah.
Okay. On what grounds?
I think it's here in Florida. It's sort of like, I can't remember the terminology of it, just because they want to irreconcilable differences. But he was outside the marriage having affairs, and, you know, I don't want to go into all of that, you know, but the Most High showed me my wrongdoings, you know, what I was doing
okay.
wrong in the marriage.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to leave that in the past where it is. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you are a woman that's baptized in the church, the best thing to do is usually, are you in the church or no?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, if you're in the church, you have to realize we have elders and deacons in position. Whatever part, mm-hmm. whatever appointment you have in any administration is your duty. Okay? When it comes to the elder women and giving advice to elder women, they must meet a certain criteria to be appointed to give sisters guidance in marriage. You don't really have that experience, right?
Right. Because I love
yeah, but
the divorce.
Yeah.
No, I don't. No, not being successful in it. No.
Yeah. But there's other things you can do, though. If there's some negative scenarios that you know is against God's law, and a young lady is coming to you for advice on how to navigate through some experiences that will lead to a better circumstances, and you can use your negative experience for positive. You can say, well, this is what I did wrong. Okay, but according to the Most High in this Bible, this is how you can have a better and more successful marriage and not, you know, and actually have a better life. You're still young. You have a lot to contribute. So now you can use your negative experiences to build a woman. And here it is. This sister is growing up in your place to do the things that you wish you had an opportunity to do. Now the nation is now growing over the curse without repeating the curse. We're overcoming it now because now, okay, suppose I had a negative experience. That was me. But if my child overcome the negative experiences, we all succeed. We all make it. See? So we all make it now. So that's what you can do. Some people are ashamed to go into certain things with young ladies and aren't honest with young ladies and have our sisters out there by themselves when they really need your experience. They really need you to let them know how certain circumstances will affect them past 27 and 28 years of age.
Okay.
Okay, and what's going on is elder women been there to comfort sisters, but they haven't been honest with sisters. And it's wrong. You have to be honest with them. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And listen, and I know this hair thing is a sensitive thing, but I think every sister needs to tell sisters and say, well, listen, you're beautiful the way you are. You're beautiful the way you are. And eventually, you're cute now, but when you get past 30 and when you get up in age without a husband, these young decisions are going to plague you for decades.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
But no women are telling them that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, sister.
Thank you.
Right. You're welcome. All right. We're going to take about two more calls. 340 area code.
Hello. Hi, elders. Hi. Hi. Shalom. Hello. Hello.
Hey, Sunshine. Come on in. Come on in.
Elders, I was thinking about what you said about the women, and particularly the virtuous woman, that Proverbs woman, 31 woman, and the daughters of Sarah, as opposed to the daughters of Mammy. Because when I think about, you know, some of the descriptions of Sarah, you know, even in 80, she was so beautiful. She carried herself. She was a kept woman, not like how they portray her in these shows. She was just a beautiful woman, even at 80, you know, and onward, always beautiful. So when they replace Sarah with this Mammy, where she's not beautiful, that she's the broken woman, she's downgraded, and she's like hobbling around the house, you know, telling people, don't worry about that. You could just accept that. She's pulling you down to think that this is what you as a black woman and daughter of Zion is to become. But I'm hoping and praying and trying to guide my daughter to be that daughter of Zion like Sarah, who like Esther, who is a princess, who's beautiful, who can clean and cook and tend house and do all of that, and also take care of themselves, their hygiene, and stay kept, you know, for themselves, to be that princess of the Most High, embodying the fruits of the Spirit too, you know, not being covetous, like wanting what somebody else has. And every time I see any little girl out there, I want them to have that beauty, that long hair, you know, that glory. I'm working, you know, to keep my daughter's hair long and beautiful, beautiful, big, long afros, and all little girls can have it. And it's just by taking the time to look at it, to see the texture, to feel it, to love the hair, to love the beauty of that black child, and have her realize it, because it does affect, because the daughters of Zion know that their hair is supposed to be beautiful. They know their bodies are supposed to be kept. But if they just go, well, Mammy said we don't have to worry about it, then they'll forever have that perpetual curse upon them, always being covetous. And I don't want that for my daughters or any daughter of Zion. So that's all I wanted to say about that, Elder. That's all.
Okay, so, Sister, and you have the power to fix it for at least in your home. So that's a good thing, okay?
Praise the Most High. Praise the Most High.
All right. So the lawyer has an announcement. Before you do the announcement, the lawyer. Yeah. Someone left a message inside the comment. It says, it's Zazu. My son was in college when he started following the GOCC. He stopped. Your kids are in college. We still have to live in this world to get a job. We have to be educated. Please encourage our kids. Okay. There's a lot to unpack right here. I don't know what you are implying, because a lot of this is parsed, right? But let me listen to this. My son was in college when he started following GC and he stopped. Listen, that's not our problem, okay? That's not our issue, okay? There's people out there, including myself and others, who went to college and had some schooling and decided that they wanted to do something different. It's not because they followed the GOCC that he stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's make that clear. I have a son in college, but he has the understanding to do what? To eat the fish and spit out the bones, okay? Eat the meat, spit out the bones. So he has enough knowledge concerning who his father is to know not to deal with the Persian mythology, the liberal radicalizations, and all the other evil that come with the liberal, satanic, crazy colleges, including the people in it that are getting triggered and being moved into types of fraternities and wickedness. But again, education is good, the proper education. Mm-hmm. What we're saying is faith comes first. Paul was in different walks of life when it came to education. He sat with philosophers and all that, as well as a learned man as a Pharisee. But it wasn't until he had faith that he understood how to navigate righteously with the knowledge. So one thing, be careful when you equate your son's decisions on doing something that he did that you might be offended about, and loosely relating that to the gathering of Christ Church. Okay? We didn't tell your son to drop out. Okay? I'm sure no one told Bill Gates to drop out. He did just fine without college. The same way as Steve Jobs. No one told him to drop out. And he did fine without college. So it seems as if when something happens in our community that we disagree with, we seek to find someone to blame. Your son is a man that's on a path, and he's being guided through his own choices. Okay? And if it's his choice is to follow Gavin Christ Church and learn, then that's a piece of his path.
Mm-hmm.
He chose that, and we must allow that young man to find himself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other part, we still have to live in this world and get a job. Yes, you got to live in this world and get a job, but what are you willing to compromise to keep the job? Are you saying that you should take the mark of the beast in order for you to keep a job? So there's a choice between the mark of the beast, when they take the money out of the system, and your job, which will you choose? Okay. So I'm going to encourage our kids from Deuteronomy 6, where the Most High say, bring forth the understanding of the Most High on this Sabbath and make sure that we keep the laws frontless before their eyes and put the laws on the doorposts. So my directing children is according to God, not according to this world.
Mm-hmm. And I would say this is, let me say this as well.
Yeah.
Like the elder mentioned, we firstly did not tell your son or anyone's child to leave school or make any level of decision of that magnitude. In fact, if they would have spoken to either the elder or any other elder personally, they would have been told, listen to your parents.
Yeah.
Listen to your mother, your father, whatever they're directing you, whatever their wishes are for you, listen to them, because we don't deal with either underage children or children that may be 18 but still are under the guidance and headship of their family. So we would never tell someone's child to leave school or stop doing this, stop doing that, so on and so forth.
Yeah. But it's deep that people, when it comes to something negative, immediately find something to blame or someone to blame.
Mm-hmm.
When that happens more times than not in our communities, brothers and sisters going to college for a year or two and dropping out.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a phenomenon.
Not for everybody.
That happens in our communities more times than not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So don't try to say, he's been bombing Gavin Craig Church and now I'm equating that with him dropping out of college.
Mm-hmm.
No. Listen. No, you can't put that on us. We're teaching the kingdom of heaven, and we have children in school. Okay. But again, my son knows if they come in with some horse mess, then okay, you got your school. Okay. If they come with some crap where my son has to become a cyborg to learn, he's gonna go deuces on you. Peace. I'm out. There's nothing you can all do for me. I'm going with my dad. Okay. Go ahead, Elder Lloyd.
Yes, sir. The announcement.
Yeah.
All right. Just a quick announcement for those who are in the academy. Just 1 second.
In the academy. We're going to pull out the history tomorrow.
That's very Christianity.
Yeah, but we're going to show that the Catholics were hiding the fact that they knew Joseph was Christ's physical father. Tomorrow.
All right. So just a quick one for those who are in the academy. Currently, we're using a new email platform. Okay. So therefore, you have to make sure that you don't only check. I know sometimes if it feels like you didn't receive your email, even though it was sent, you may check your spam. It may not be there. But what you want to do going forward is not only check the spam, but also check your updates, your promotions, or all mail. You want to check all of those folders again. Not just your spam, but your updates, your promotions, and all mail folders, and move the email to the primary or important folder, especially for Gmail. This will make sure that going forward, it will default. Your Academy email will default to your inbox, and your Lesson 7 has already been sent since this past Thursday, okay? So that's the update as far as the email goes. So hopefully everyone, you'll have your information ready to go for tomorrow.
Well, someone asked me, should I take this virus seriously? I don't understand what you mean by the question. I go outside and I don't see anyone falling out from anything. That's my reality.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on what taking this virus seriously means for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's subjective. That's subjective. Because the government is saying and the power that be is saying you must take this seriously. Okay, this is what you got to take seriously. Get the vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I don't know what do you mean by do I take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I go outside and I don't see anyone falling in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some of the movies or some of the episodes or some of the scenes from the movies, The Pandemic, and you can go online and see it on YouTube. I don't see none of that going on outside. So that's what I'm taking seriously, what I see. I'm taking the Most High seriously. I'm taking his word seriously, this walk seriously. But it is what I see. I mean, as far as now what they're saying on the news is one thing, but when I turn off TV, I don't see anything outside.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Except people with masks on. Okay, so.
And what does have to be taken seriously is how they're going to use it.
Exactly.
And what they're planning. But the virus itself, come on.
It is what it is.
Anytime someone dies in a car accident and they got to put COVID on the death certificate, they're not taking it seriously because they know it's not enough numbers to even go along with the storyline. So.
Now, let me make it clear. Does coronavirus exist? Absolutely.
Exactly.
And I'm going to say it again.
Exactly.
It's been on the back of the Lysol can since I was a child. That it tell you that Lysol also kills the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
So does coronavirus exist? It has always existed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in 99.9% of those who catch colds. So are people still catching colds? Yes, they're catching colds. Are people still getting flus? Yes, they're getting flus.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't named under this campaign of COVID-19 where they're looking to get these numbers to do social engineering, bringing forth the mark of the beast. Every sickness now is that. So mm-hmm. does it exist? Absolutely. It existed last year. It existed the year before that.
Right.
All right. We have a few more. You don't mind taking a few more before you? All right, just a few more. All right. Let's see. 803 area code. Let's go down here. That's 404 area code. Shalom.
Shalom.
404. You're live.
Yes. I have a question.
Sure.
Well, I'm hearing things mentioned about alopecia and women losing their hair and things that women need to do in order to be able to have husbands. And I have one statement and a question. The first one is, not all women who have hair loss have alopecia or wear weaves. Sometimes you can be stressed and lose your hair. It grows back, but sometimes that happens. And then the question I have is, how is the church going to do things in the future concerning gossip and helping people to understand that gossip can affect other people being married?
Okay, sister, it seems as if you were going to jump from one thing to the next. So I'm going to try to help you. You went from hair loss to gossip.
Yes.
Let me round it out so I don't have to spend 30 minutes trying to pin this down, because that's how it goes. When this is, you understand the way you just explained this is total ambiguity, where I don't understand anything you're saying. So let's break it down. How does the hair thing affect you? And how does the gossip affect you? Because I don't understand, what are you saying? We just brought out today, according to the word, that women aren't supposed to be tattlers. That's what the Bible says. We taught that. So there's nothing more we can do than to say that. And if people continue to break those laws, then eventually they're going to be judged accordingly. So if you were in this lesson, you heard us teach about the tattlers. Now, if someone is tattling on you, if you learned the lesson today, it was clear what to do if you found someone is offending you. You don't go to elders. You don't call into a broadcast. You go to that person in the spirit of meekness and correct them. Because you talking to us, we cannot correct someone indirectly over jumping crisis laws on how to deal with offenses. We'll be over jumping crisis. So the whole thing is, what you have to do, if someone offended you, You go to that person in the spirit of meekness and say, you're tattling. What you're doing is wrong.
I am not offended. I'm sorry if I didn't come off clear. What I was saying was just making a statement about the hair is that sometimes people lose hair when they're stressed out. It doesn't mean that they have alopecia or that their hair is not going to grow back or that they wear a lot of weave. Sometimes people just, and you lose hair. That was just a statement. The second thing.
Okay. Sister, listen to me, though, because I'm going to show you. You're going to learn right now. Okay? Listen. There's nothing we ever said that would go against the fact that people have hair loss. What have you heard here that said that it's not just alopecia? Some people lose their hair through stress. How does that apply to us?
I was just sharing this, you know, letting it be known that sometimes women can be stressed out and they can lose hair. It just was a statement, just sharing, because you said the widow should teach the younger not to, you know, put things in their hair that's actually going to cause them to have hair loss.
Okay.
I know personally that I have lost hair due to stress before. That was all.
You're rambling on. Listen, so what you're doing is indirectly through us just telling people something.
No, it was just sharing that sometimes that can happen. It doesn't mean it's always that. But what's more important is the second thing that the question I had, the second one. I really
sister,
need that
sister, you see how you see how I just said one thing, you started talking about something else? I'm asking you a direct question. Are mm-hmm. you saying that, are you just speaking generally, in which it's something that we don't even have to address? You just want to tell the people this, correct?
Well, no, it actually ties into just actually being able to give information to younger sisters about how to not stress out, you know, how to control their emotions in the future. You know what I mean? So that could be something that could be shared.
So you do so you want us to address your concerns, is what you're saying, to the people.
It's not just a concern in general. I'm more concerned with this second question, if you could please answer it, because I had people sabotage me meeting someone, and it was due to gossip, and that's why I'm really bringing that up. Now, that is something I wanted to hit on, and it's very important.
Sister, are you in the church, in our church?
Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, I came into your church when I was maybe 27 years old, and I waited to marry.
Okay.
I had a very troubled life. I went through things and endured. And
hey, sister, I'm trying to work with you, okay? In order for you, me to work with you, when I ask you a question, just answer that and don't say something else that goes someplace else. That's the only way I can help you, okay? What church did you attend? That's a location.
This is Sister Francina, also known as Ahaba, and I go to your Atlanta Body Church. I've been with your church since 2015.
Sister, okay. Sister, we're going to call you on the outside of this broadcast because, obviously, when I ask you one question, you're going to keep on going, and this ain't the place for it. Okay?
Shalom.
Shalom. Bless you. All right. Next call. Let's see here. All right. Now, I'm saying this. We have to be careful with that, okay? And this is why I purposely put out how to deal with offenses according to Christ, because our people, all of us, to some degree, have been taught that it's okay to step over those if we've been hurt or we have been offended. It's still not good. If someone did something to you, we shouldn't be hearing that. You're supposed to go to the people who did it to you. I mean, how many times does Christ have to keep emphasizing that? Not me. Why would you pull us into that? Okay? Why? And it seems like we keep emphasizing it. If you have an issue, you can't come to us with it. before going to the person you have an issue with. That's wrong. We've been taught that if we hurt, I just need a shoulder to cry on. I should be able to say it freely to get it out. That's under this satanic world. That's evil. That's how gossip continues, because people are not confronting their issues with those who have offended them. Let's read it once more. And Sister Francina, I'm saying this so that you can actually apply this, because if you've been in Christ, you've been in part of the church, you should understand these particular.
Okay, someone mentioned, it seems you were attacking the sister. She just made
what?
A start.
No,
they're trolling at this point. And listen, correction and disagreeing isn't attacking. What did I say about her that attacked her? So, no, we're not dealing with that.
Gave it a proper script in Christ.
Get it in Matthew real quick.
So, was Christ trolling? I mean, was Christ?
No.
Christ?
No, listen. Listen, I'm not even dealing with it. Mm. I'm not even dealing with it anymore. Okay. It's coming down to a point of straight. I'm going to tell you what it is, folks. It's the confusion that Christ talked about would happen in the end, even in Baruch, where people, you'll say one thing and it's being translated in an entirely different way when they receive it, not realizing that people have been damaged here to a point where we can no longer communicate. So if I break it down and say, well, no, let's deal with one thing at a time so that we can get clarity.
Exactly.
That becomes an attack.
Mm-hmm.
Or should I just deal with a whole smorgasbord of confusion and get nothing solved?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to draw us into that world. We're done with that. Christ says, let your yea be yea or your nay be nay. Anything else, gender strife and contention. And not once have I ever talked about or related alopecia to someone stressed with their hair falling out. How am I supposed to receive and understand that? I never talked about someone getting stressed and their hair falling out. Okay, now maybe it's still coming down to people defending or saying why they have to cover their head with the hair that they buy and all that. Listen, what someone want to do with their own head is their problem. We've already put out there what they're doing in India with the hair. Okay, we already put that out there. We've already put it out there. And keep in mind, if you throw something, I threw something on my grass the other day. The sun couldn't get to the grass, and under that, the grass began to die. It turned yellow, and the grass began to die because it's just like your hair. If it's not getting sunlight and natural care, eventually what happens under it dies. So if that begins to die, then can you imagine what happens to the brain? Yeah, and it's on natural channels. I mean, we're trying to save our sisters and saying, well, listen, this stuff, what's happening is you're not going to be able to think straight. You're going to become confused. This is what the devil wanted. Okay, so no, I'm not even going into that no more. People can do what they want to do. But you cannot draw us into some confusion. Read it again.
Matthew 18:1.
It's like, man, listen, if that's what you want, do it, but don't attack us.
Mm-hmm.
We showed you in India what these East Indians are doing, how they're taking his hair and praying it to the God, and they're cursing our people with it. Finish reading.
Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone.
Exactly. If there's an issue, you go to your brother. You can't come out publicly and talk about somebody's talent and someone's doing that, and you didn't go to your brother. And a public broadcast isn't the place for that. What do you want us to do? Well, there's talents. Well, we... read the scripture where women aren't supposed to dabble.
Mm-hmm.
What else can we do?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an issue, please go to the people who are offending you. We're not doing this to you. Okay? Now, uh, 786 area code. Last call. The real last call. Then we got to pray out.
How you doing, Elder?
Hey, bless you. How are you?
Blessed and highly favored. I appreciate that. My name is Sandra. I'm with the Memphis, Tennessee body. I wanted to ask you a question. I don't know if it's appropriate, but I'm just going to ask anyway. I had a simple issue, and it turned really complicated. I had the police are actually actively stealing my children, and they're using these different things to get the children. I have a lot of children. I have 10. And it's like the moment they realized I had this many children, they'll do anything. If I apply for a job, they'll trace me from the job and, you know, try to get the children and things like that. And I want to know, is there an appropriate way I could do this without actually going through the courts or offending, you know, my holy position with God? Do they even make sense?
No, but
okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Listen. Sorry to hear what you're talking about, but I'm going to try to make sense of it.
Thank you.
Where are the children? Where are the children's father?
Okay. So far as the children's father, I'm just going to try to make a real simple statement. He is persistent in living with his mother.
Okay, let's back this up.
Okay.
So you had 10 children by this particular man.
The simplest way I'm just going to put it to you is I'm married now with someone that is not of all the children, but they're the last half of the children.
So listen to me.
Okay.
When I ask you a question, you don't have to try to say things to clean it up to make what it is. And okay,
okay.
That's what sometimes.
So he's
do.
Not the father of all teams.
No. All right.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
I'll go, then you go. You ready for me to go?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to go. He's not the father of the 10 children. That's a yes or no. Okay. How many of the children belong to that father?
Five. Yes, sir.
The last five? The younger?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And the other five? Let's talk about the other five. Who do they belong to?
A previous marriage.
Okay. Let's deal with the one of the last five, right?
Yes, sir.
Regardless of where he's living, he's their father. What
There's
does he have to
else.
Say about his...
What does
huh?
he have to say about... What's your question?
What does he have to say about his children being taken?
He goes to get them.
What'd you say?
He goes to get them. He just gets them out of the system and gets them.
So are you saying that CPS is coming in certain circumstances and taking your children? Is that what you're saying?
Illegally, yes, sir.
Okay, how is it illegal? How do they take your children illegally? Give me one example of that, and then the rest of this will have to be off of the broadcast. Give me one example of the system coming into your home, taking your children illegally.
Excuse was they were coming to search for someone that didn't live there. I had went to the job to pick my husband up. And when we come back, the sheriff had taken all of the children out of the house. There were four adults in the house who were the older children. And they also explained to them that, hey, we're here, and we will be responsible for the children. And what they did was they held the children 7 days without notifying, without putting them into the, they didn't put them in, like in Memphis, you go to juvenile court for the children. They held the children 7 days so that they could go through this loophole to where they could keep the children. Then they hid the children for another month and then came back to me and said, oh, well, you know, they gave me a number and said, well, you call this number when you're ready to pick up your children and turn in information about, you know, the person that used to live there. I actually had no idea who they were speaking of, and the number was false. So I called juvenile court, and juvenile court said, well, that probably has to do with DHS. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm explaining the circumstance. Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
At any time when I was speaking, did you hear me say sister, at any time?
Right now, yes, sir.
Okay. How old are you, sister?
I'm 45.
All right, 45. Your youngest child is how? At what age?
My youngest child is 9.
9. Okay. All right. Based on what I'm hearing here, sister, and it's hard for me to actually get to the bottom of things to some degree, because when I say something, you go on well beyond the parameters of what
sorry.
I'm asking. No, sister, you're doing it again. You have to listen to me. You don't have to apologize. I don't want you to apologize in between, because that's breaking the conversation also. Okay? Now.
Yes, sir.
All right. There's something going on that you're not divulging. If they if they said they're coming into your home, sister, because of someone else they're looking for. So obviously there's something.
You're not. To express, please, Elder.
I have to put you on hold. I'm sorry. Can't do it. You can't call someone to ask for solutions and don't allow them to get to the bottom of it. Because what people do, and unfortunately, they cover up themselves in certain instances because they don't want to come off as, and I can understand it, an unfit parent. Okay? But there's something going on if they're saying they're looking for a person and you don't go into the details of this person and how they relate to your home, whether or not they were dealing with illegal activity, probably so, or whatever the case is, just so that you can absolve yourself from any blame. People just can't take children. That's illegal. But what I'll do, see, and I'm going to tell you, that's why the Bible says, I'm going to tell you that we must hear.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to see this more and more and more, more prevalent, that people have cut you off at the pass and stop you and don't even realize it's not them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a spirit that could be founded and rooted out, that try to throw in some level of conjecture or distraction so that the demon is not rooted out.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're coming for healing, you're not telling the physician how to fix you.
Right. Exactly.
Okay? You're not leaving things out when you go to the doctor's office when they ask, what are the symptoms? So, but we got to continue to pray for our nation. Sister, what I will do is I'll write your number down and we'll call you off this, because I don't think this is a call for something like this anymore. Yeah, there's counseling that need to get done. And I've seen it over and over. When people know where it's going, because when you lock things down, that's why we said it earlier, Let your yea be yea or your nay be nay. Okay? Men are usually more direct, but when you talk to men and you try to pin them down and they're not answering straight, you usually realize, okay, that was a young man that was raised without a male example in the home. Because men are direct. They don't have time for all the long conversations to get from point A to point B. Men that were raised around other men don't have time for all that. They're direct. But what I find, and it's not a masculine trait, let me put it that way, that when people don't answer you directly, they're cunningly absolving themselves by cutting themselves out of the narrative so that no one looks at them negatively or see their part in the problem they're claiming they need help with. They're trying to clean up their image the whole time while explaining the scenario. Can't get fixed that way. But, hey, here's the beginning, right? It's time for us to start somewhere understanding that we were a part of an experiment. All of us. Not just you. Me too.
If it's something so private that you can't touch on it on here, then that shows it's not the platform. So
yeah,
it's better not to even set yourself up. Just wait till you have a private situation.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just call and say, listen, I got something private I need to speak about of a serious nature offline.
Yeah.
Let's schedule some time offline.
No? Yeah. So don't worry about it. It's okay, sister. You know, but understand that when we do call you, no diatribe, answer the question directly and just button up. You get one, then we can, because I gave an analogy of this the other day, right? If you have a ladder that's missing steps, you can probably still get from point A to point B. You still get up there, but you may fall on the way, or you may break something, or it's just a harder struggle to get to the top. Mm-hmm. So when people are asking you questions, it's actually, when it comes to counseling, it's like building a ladder. You have to fix this ladder real good, this step, in order for the next step to be fixed. Mm-hmm. You just can't try to just be all over the place and hope to get to where you go.
Right.
And that's why these questions are asked. Okay? Because the steps have to be built so that we can do, okay, I conquered this spirit. Now the spirit can't get away. He's out of here. Now let's ask the next question. See? But the demons wanted to be all over the place so that you can't isolate the spirit and root it out, because it's really a demon. Confusion and chaos is a spirit. And I think we're going to be talking about that down the line, but I digress. Okay? With that, I'm going to say shalom. Stay prayed up. Sin not. We will soon see Zion. Elder Lawyer, if you may, lead us in the Lord's Prayer.
Bahaya, Bahashem Yeshaya Wabuach, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Hey, there's a deep spirit out there. A deep, deep, deep spirit. And how do you know when a spirit is deeply rooted that has effectively destroyed and will continually destroy our people? When you can't talk about it. When you're scorching the earth by even mentioning it. Shalawah, we'll see you this Wednesday on our broadcast. That's right. Israelites, genetically and spiritually. You don't want to miss that particular broadcast. We're pulling out the goods. And tomorrow we're going into the Jesuit Christianity. What's the difference between the Jesuit Christianity, which is the Catholic Christianity, and Christ's Christianity? Do the Catholics have history to prove that they knew that Joseph was Christ's father, but lied so that they can bring forth Semiramis, the virgin Babylonian mother? You'll find that out tomorrow in the Hebrew Bible Academy. Shalom. Stay prayed up. Sin not. We'll see you tomorrow in the Academy. Love you, brothers and sisters. We're gone. And thanks for all your support. Those cash apps and all that, we appreciate it. It's going to be put to good use. Go out.